on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. Melbourne is going to be okay. That win yesterday over the Cats was the strongest piece of evidence that the D's are on the up. 4 years ago, Geelong sent the D's into a black hole at Simmons Stadium with a score 20-1 at half-time and a final loss of 186 points. Since then, Melbourne has struggled for respect. To bounce back after agonisingly losing to St Kilda last week shows the club has real substance. Senior players like Nathan Jones, Bernie Vince and Lyndon Dunn should be proud of their efforts. And youngsters in Viney, Brayshaw, Stretch, Tyson, Neil Bullen and Gorn can now give their fans something to cheer about. Let's not forget young gun Jesse Hogan didn't play. The Cats are in decline after a magnificent decade, but for the D's, it's all about the future now. I'm KB. That's my take.
They've got to get one here. Over the back, Jones. Players around everywhere. Jones runs into 25, and he kicks the goal for the Demon. Here's Garlick. Got around one, two, snaps the ball. He's kicked a goal. Or just missing it in right. Vince picks it up, snaps it around the corner, and that's a goal the Demons love.
Jeremy Howe up in front. Garlick in the back of the pack. Throws it brilliantly. Superb running goal.
Coming through their doors. Over the top to Jones. Tackled. Shrugs it. Walks to 40. Nate Jones kicks the opening goal.
This could nearly end the game.
Bernie Vince. Left boot. Towards goal. He's kicked it. What a goal for Bernie Vincent. What a game.
There it is. A famous victory for Melbourne down at Cat Park. And look at the players. They are exhausted, but they are happy.
That's a great win. I just said the players after the game. I mean, Geelong at Geelong. It's a fantastic win, and they've been in terrific form. So we think we've been competitive the last 2 weeks, but we just haven't been able to win, obviously. So hopefully this gives them belief to the players that we're on the right track and we're sort of heading in the right direction.
What a win it was for the D's yesterday, and also a great win by Carlton as well, and the West Coast Eagles over the Tigers, of course, on Friday night. They're a real surprise packet. 9429116 is our famous talkback number, 0433981116 if you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29, or you can tweet at HungryForSport. Coming up, Patrick Smith is going to join us, taking your calls, so you can always, you can set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? And, of course, the famous ticks and crosses from a huge weekend in sport. And then Patrick's famous goose and goose as well. You may want to have some early nominations. We'll catch up with Mark Allen at the golf. Great chance today that an Aussie could win the US Open. Jeff Harris with all the Formula One action. We'll catch up with Pete Ryan from AFL.com. All the injury reports and match review panel charges as well. Brett Phillips always keeps us up to speed with the world of tennis leading into Wimbledon. And don't forget Weekend Siren. All the footy from round 12 with Terry Wallace and Martin Blank. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Any chance you just don't worry about the words and start with showing your intent with some actions? Now, the bottomless pit of idiocy behind those comments by both men is both chilling and disturbing. If you're harassed, short of King hitting, go for it. Now, that is insane. So inappropriate. If we didn't have WADA, we wouldn't have sport, because nobody would believe one thing that they saw on a football field, a track field, a swimming pool, anything.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith for Supergroups. Kubota Excavator Finance deals on now.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Kevin. You're giving Melbourne your final seal of approval. Tick.
Oh, they're on the up, no doubt about that. What we saw yesterday after losing so closely to St Kilda the week before with the worst 41 seconds we've seen in the history of the game, to bounce back, go down to Geelong. I think it's well over a 200-point turnaround from what happened 4 years ago. And there was so much to like about the D's. I'd love to hear from Melbourne supporters and Carlton supporters, because on the weekend we saw something from the younger brigade and also the resilience of Melbourne. Yes, they challenged several times by the Cats at different stages during the course of the game. And I think that's the first real sign we've seen that they're going to be okay, Melbourne.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Paul Roos has declared it his best win at Melbourne. I don't think we'd argue with him there. I like to look at the two clubs 4 years apart, not the same club 4 years apart. What was happening at a football club 4 years ago that saw that dreadful loss, and what's happening now? I mean, I think the change has been extraordinary in just the know-how, off-field know-how, professionalism of the administration now compared to way back then, when all sorts of machinations were going on and coaches were being sacked and administrators were stepping down or whatever they were doing. It was a hideous time in Melbourne's history 4 years ago. And they've come in a massive way, really, in the 4 years and under Jackson and Ruse, Peter Jackson and Paul Ruse. They are going to be a very good club, as distinct from a very good team. And that's important because they weren't a good club. And I think they've got every chance now of being a good club and in turn a good team.
Yes, just a fantastic performance. And Carlton, of course, they've been under the pump and with Johnny Barker. I was interested, I think on Friday the Herald Sun was saying fantastic there. They've got Ange Postecoglou and Chris Judd as part of their coaching panel. This is what Carlton needs. And I know it's in the Herald Sun yesterday, on Sunday's Herald Sun, they're saying just sign up Johnny Barker. So, love to hear from Carlton fans whether they forget Judd and forget Ange and just go for John now.
Yeah, there's another issue there at Carlton, I think, and that is, what's the culture of the place that a professional coach like Dennis Pagan, a couple of premierships, comes into the place, can't take a trick, is not respected, players don't play for him. Malthouse comes in, one of the very greats of coaching, certainly the longest serving, and the players walk away from him emotionally. There's something wrong within the club and within that playing group or whatever, that they seem to want to run the show, or they seem to want to pick the person who runs the show. I think that that's an issue that's got to be addressed, as well as finding a replacement for Malthouse.
Well, they played some good football against Port Adelaide. They went out, they attacked, they played as if they enjoyed playing the game of football. Coming out of that is one tackle, Bryce Gibbs's tackle, of course, on Robbie Gray. That certainly is going to be looked at. I would suspect Bryce Gibbs will get rubbed out maybe a couple of weeks if he pleads guilty for that tackle. And one of the other things that took place on the weekend, I'd like to hear from the fans as well. First of all, what do you think of the Bryce Gibbs tackle? Guilty or not guilty? And also Alex Rance throwing the ball back at the umpire.
Yeah, well, I've got some strong views on both of those, Kevin. I would think that Gibbs needs to be suspended. I don't think you can cause a player to be taken off the ground and not take part in the match again, as was the case with that tackle. And with the Rance one, I'm convinced that the umpire made the right decision. And I don't think the umpires are tough enough on players who show any disrespect or question any decision. I think that they should automatically be given 50 metres or a free kick and then 50 metres.
And also, I just want to pose this question, Pat. Obviously, Pete Ryan will join us a little bit later on, of course, from AFL.com, and he always looks at the injury of players and also the match review panel and maybe possible charges. But the game with Hawthorn, of course, playing against Adelaide, we saw Stratton punch Eddie Betts in the guts, and we saw Josh Gibson elbow Charlie Cameron in the guts as well. Now, most people are saying that lack of force. What it actually is insufficient force? And I'd like to hear from the listeners on that as well. What is insufficient force? If you were standing at the bus stop and someone came up and just punched you in the guts without you knowing it was coming, and you doubled over, could you just say, look, you're okay, mate, it was insufficient force, don't worry about it.
Well, it has greater impact.
Is it a good look for the game?
Oh, I think it's an awful look, just so cheap shots like that. I think Hawthorn, it doesn't do Hawthorn any favours. Just seeing, a really competent football club running around doing that sort of cheap shot stuff, that doesn't do them any favours. The difference, I guess, is that they make the decision now, was that a tap or was that a punch? Well, I guess the only way you can really decide is, well, what was the ramification of what that player did? And if the ramification was that the player legitimately fell to the ground holding his stomach, then what you say is a tap, we're going to say is a punch. Mm. And I think that's the way you've got to differentiate.
And a deliberate punch.
And a deliberate one, yeah.
Yeah. I'd just like to hear from the fans and see whether they, when they're watching that on TV, are they happy with that? Are they happy for that to just slide by and say, that's insufficient force? Is it good for the game? Is it good for the image of the game? 9429 1116. Lots of ticks and crosses coming out. What's been a huge weekend of sport. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll take your calls.
on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda. Celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
This wave of players will win the ball and they'll go forward. That's a very strong tackle by Gibbs that time and Robbie Gray.
Dangerous tackle too.
He has crunched him into
he's
the hit. Turf.
He's in trouble too,
he's out cold. He's out cold.
Gee, that's dangerous when the players' arms are pinned. They've got no way of protecting themselves. Their head just plummets into the turf.
Didn't really want to see him go down like that, and no one wants to see other blokes get carried off on stretchers. We'll just have to see how it plays out. There was definitely no malice in the way I wanted to go on out and hurt him or anything. Unfortunately, his arms were pinned and his head hit the ground, so that's the way it played out.
There's some of the thoughts there by Bryce Gibbs just talking on the Sunday football show. Let's go to our callers. Ticks and Crosses from a big weekend of sport. We'll get through all of our callers. The keeper is from Ivanhoe. G'day, keeper.
G'day, Kev. How are you, mate?
Good, keeper.
Hey, Kev, I've got three questions for you, please, if you could answer them.
I'll do my best.
Kev, the Rules Committee.
Yes.
Now, with all this force and this, that, the other, in your day, you know, what stayed on the ground, stayed on the ground. Kevin, I don't understand, like, you're stuck in the head and stuff.
Well, just on that, I think they've made that pretty clear for your first question, keeper, and that is if you drive your head, you duck your head and you drive it into an opponent and therefore you initiate the contact, then the onus is on you to either handball it or kick it if you're tackled in the correct manner, and if not, you'll be penalised for a free kick. But if you're just in the normal throws of trying to sidestep and weave your way around opponents and you're caught high, then you will receive a free kick. So that's the first one. What's the second one?
Second question, Melbourne, Paul Roos. I was very pleased to see the Redlegs get up. What's your thoughts, Kev?
Pleased to see Paul Roos what?
Get up.
Get up. Oh, well, I said in my take today, it was just fantastic. I think it's the first time we've seen genuine evidence that Melbourne is on the up. So from that point of view, that was a great win. And I think it's all about the future now for Melbourne. And your third point? No, the keeper's gone. Harry's in Mooney. Sorry, you're there, keeper?
Yeah, I certainly am, Kev.
Okay.
The last question. Kev, you know better than me. Delidio. Now, was he ready to go?
Well, he's had a very good season since he's come back after playing that first game and being injured. He's come back and he's been a very important player. But, must say, the Tigers were very disappointing on the weekend against West Coast. There's something missing down at Tigerland. I need Richmond supporters to tell me
what is happening.
Something missing.
Something missing.
There's something missing at the moment.
So, where was it on Thursday and Friday?
Well, it disappeared. That's what I'm worried about, Pat.
Something's
gone wrong in a couple of days. I've got to know what it is.
Maybe your judgment?
No. Harry joins us in Mooney Ponds. G'day, Harry.
Good morning, Kevin and Patrick. I spoke to you last week about how well Melbourne played and still lost to St Kilda. Sometimes a loss like that can bond the players even greater than a win by 2 points. And it just was evidence yesterday that Melbourne has something proved. Now, a lot of people have forgotten that not only did we beat them at their own ground at Geelong, we beat them when Corey Enright was playing 300 games. Now, the players were playing for Corey Enright. So that win yesterday was just enormous under the circumstances when you consider that Melbourne had some key players out of their side. But those young boys went hard. That young lad...
Brayshaw,
yeah. He just showed how to play football. He broke the packs on numerous occasions, and he did remind me of the Geelong captain. So we have got a lot to look forward to. And, Kevin, all I've got to say, when Dr. Turk comes in tomorrow, you've got a lot of explanation to do.
Why? What do I have to explain?
Well, Dr. Turf was most upset last week.
Yes, he was.
And you stirred him up a bit. And I think that he deserves an apology.
I think Harry's right.
Can I just say one thing, Harry? I was watching it on telly. We'll talk to Dr. Turf. He'll join us tomorrow. He'll be very, very happy. Disappointed last week, of course. I think it was a great effort by Melbourne to overcome the disappointment of last week and then go in without Jesse Hogan and to win that game down at Geelong. And we know what happened there 4 years ago. But, I would think that Dr. Turfey is going to be extremely happy. But I was disappointed watching it on TV, with about 5 minutes to go, they showed all these Geelong fans filing out of the ground.
That was something, wasn't it?
Well, Corey Enright is playing his 300th game. A lot was said about it. Even if you're in defeat, you're going to stay to the end to thank Corey Enright as he's being carried off the ground. All those Geelong supporters decided to leave 5 minutes to go and forgot all about Corey Enright.
You've really turned on Geelong.
No, but why did they do that?
Well, why have you turned on Geelong the way you have?
I haven't turned on
their
Geelong at all.
History
I've
success,
admired Geelong enormously.
Their modern success, is that what eats at you?
No, they've been
every
fantastic.
Time you tip your silly Richmond team,
no.
They lose.
No, just saying for Geelong fans, you know, it was disappointing watching on TV, just seeing them all falling out the ground, when in fact they haven't waited to the final siren to say thank you to Corey Enright. Mark's in Essendon. G'day, Mark.
Morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Kevin, that tackle on the weekend,
Bryce Gibbs,
I was actually watching it with my wife, and I specifically paused it, ran it back, and I said to my wife, Rose, have a look at this, where you get a strong, intelligent footballer, lock up a player, has no ability to get away, and he throws him into the turf. Now, as a parent, I just thank God that my son plays soccer, because he has been playing for the last 15 years. And I watch that and I say to myself as a parent, why would you do that? And this guy's got to be punished for what he does. It's got to stop.
Well, there's rules. I mean, everyone breaks rules from time to time, no matter what the rule is. But there's rules on tackling and having a second action or a slinging action. It's up to the match review panel to look at that. I'd be very surprised if Bryce Gibbs doesn't get suspended for maybe 3 weeks.
Do you think
weeks,
there were two actions?
3 weeks. Well, yes, he planted his foot. He used himself as a fulcrum. Strong tackle. It wasn't a tackle that went straight to the ground, although going in that direction. He elected to swing the bloke, Robbie Gray, turn Robbie Gray and dump him on the ground. And I think the way the rule is, Pat, whether you like it or not or disagree, the way the rule is written, I think that he gets probably 3 weeks and then he pleads guilty and gets two.
Mm. Well, I think you would argue it was excessive force, for certain.
This is what Kenny Hinkley had to say. He gave his take after seeing Bryce Gibbs tackle on Robbie Gray after the game.
It's an unfortunate thing that happens in the game of footy, I reckon. There's the intent to tackle was just to tackle and wrap him up. The unfortunate part is on the follow-through, he hits his head on the ground. I mean, I'm not sure how he can help that. I thought it was disappointing to lose Robbie, though, because he was playing fairly good footy at that stage.
Well, I mean, it's such an important tackle in one sense, and Greg Denham in The Australian points out today that it really had an impact for Carlton and for the coach, John Barker. It had real impact for Port, because maybe Port's season just went there because Gray couldn't get back onto the field. So I think it's more than just a tackle. Or sort of a robust tackle. It's got real significance, and when a player is so badly hit in the head that he can't take the field again, then we have to look at what our sport is about. And now, I don't think our sport can be about ramming people's heads into the ground.
Ken Hinkley also said this. He gave a reason why Robbie Gray didn't come back onto the field.
He was actually right to come back on. The discussion between the doctors and us was all about the incident, what happened. The doctors did the concussion test on him at half time, proved to be okay, passed that. But then on viewing the vision, it appeared that he may have been knocked out a little bit in the incident. So with that in mind, we just don't take that risk. And as much as we wanted Robbie Gray out there, it's welfare first.
Well, that was a good decision.
Refreshing
to hear that even though he may have passed the test, on viewing the vision, that they felt that he was knocked out cold, and I think we called that in the call as well, that he was knocked out.
Mm.
And because he was knocked out, they didn't want to take any risk.
And no matter the circumstances, he was not going back on. Yeah.
Well done. 9:42, 9:16, we'll take a break.
On 11:16, SEN, hungry for sport, with Kevin Bartlett for Aldi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
Where we want to take Carlton is to be authentically Carlton, and that's on and off field. There's some layers to that. On field, clearly, we've got a lot of building to do. We've talked about that. Off field, you know, what is authentically Carlton? Where do we want to take this? And authentically Carlton is is multicultural Carlton, is people development and leadership Carlton. It's an unbelievably networked and connected Carlton. It's a tribal Carlton.
Did you know that, Patrick? That's tribal Carlton. That's what authentic Carlton is. Carlton.
I think, Kevin, you'll find I've always been on record as having said that some 5-6 years ago.
I don't know what Stephen Drick was talking about then. Wow. There's Carlton fans. Tell us, what is authentic Carlton? I'd love to hear from Carlton fans.
It's inclusive Carlton.
What is authentic Carlton? He says it's tribal. It's multicultural. Is that Carlton, is it?
That's authentic Carlton. Yeah, it's inclusive. It has everybody part of its family. Yeah. No, I think that's good.
Okay. Snapper will tell us. Seabags for Carlton. He's in Port Phillip Bay. G'day, Snapper.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we going?
Good. What's authentic Carlton?
Well, authentic Carlton is having pure, true blue, navy blue and white supporters rocking up to games every week, and not just being bandwagon supporters like a few people have been. That's authentic Carlton. Showing your colours every week and not afraid to face people after a heavy defeat or when the club's going through a tough time. Now, three quick points. One, Carlton are on the right track, the right path with the way we're playing. It sort of reminded me back in the Brett Ratton days on Saturday afternoon, just running through the corridor, taking the game on, goal for goal against Port Adelaide. That is what the fans want to see. You'll win more games than you will lose with that style, because you can use your skills better. Second, Bryce gives a tackle. I don't find anything wrong with it. I know growing up as a junior, growing up playing football, I was always told to pin the arms to give the opposition less chance of getting rid of the ball.
Were you told to knock them out?
I wasn't told to knock him out, but the problem is he hit his head on the turf. If he didn't hit his head on the turf...
Was it his fault, or...?
No.
Right.
Well, hang on. Well, the argument would be, if a defender punches the ball and by accident elbows the forward and knocks him out, are we going to say he meant it? No, it's an accident. It's a contact sport. The third point is the Carlton Cheer Squad do so much for that football club. They put endless hours every week. And for bandwagon supporters to knock the cheer squad saying they weren't loud enough and that they've only found their voice when we've won a game is a disgrace to the Carlton Football Club. If you're not going to back up the cheer squad, I'm not a Carlton cheer squad member. I'm an AFL Carlton support member, but I've sat in there. At the start of the season when we were bad, those diehard Blue supporters like myself who sat in there, got invited, they never stopped chanting. They never stop praising the players. And for bandwagon supporters to knock the cheer squad because they apparently, according to them, they've finally found their voice is a disgrace. If you're not going to support the cheer squad, if you're not going to support the navy blue and white, tear up your membership. We don't want yous. Because authentic Carlton is sticking fat by the club during the good times and the bad times.
Okay, Snapper, there's an authentic Carlton barrister.
I think we'd say Snapper's authentic.
He's authentic. Michael's in Hawthorne. G'day, Michael.
Hi, Kevin. How are you going?
Good. You know what authentic Carlton is?
Yeah, Carlton are the best winners and the worst losers. So we hate losing. And when we win, we don't really gloat that much. Although maybe this weekend we did. But yeah, that's Carlton. The best winners and the
worst losers.
Yeah.
Do you want John Barker to stay on as coach now? As the Herald Sun yesterday was telling us after on Friday, the Herald Sun was suggesting that it was fantastic they had Ange and Chris Judd part of this coaching panel?
Well, it's early days, so, yeah, it's... I don't know, but he's doing okay, isn't he? I thought Mick Malthouse was... He was the oldest coach ever to coach a premiership at Collingwood, and he's 5 years older now, so I don't know why they got him in the first place, but, you know, they got him.
Okay, but a good win by the Blues on the weekend.
Yeah, great stuff.
Good stuff, Michael. Chris is in Caulfield. G'day, Chris. Wants to talk about punching to the guts. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Kev. G'day, Patrick.
G'day.
Look, I just have this opinion. I think it's pathetic, and I think it's possibly even worse than the Gibbs thing, even though the outcome wasn't as bad. But it's off the ball. It's cheap. It's weak, in fact. It's not manly at all.
It's certainly intentional, isn't it? It's definitely intentional.
And I don't think you should be judging by trying to work out some arbitrary force thing. If you punch a player off the ball, that's it. At least a fine or some immediate ramification, 50 metres, penalty, whatever. I'm a St Kilda supporter. We had one at our club, Stephen Baker. People used to sing his praises. Well, he did a lot of good things, but all that other side to him I think it demeans the game, demeans the club, and demeans the person.
It'd be interesting for the AFL Metropolitan panel to explain to us, Chris and Patrick, and even if our listeners can explain to us, what is insufficient force? Now, we know you can run by and you can throw the back of your hand and someone said, what was that? You know, who did that? You know, sort of thing. But, you know, if you punch someone in the guts, as I said, if you're just waiting at the bus stop and someone comes up behind you and then just punches you in the guts, I reckon you're going to go down and you're going to bend over and go grabbing your breath. But could you just say, look, that's okay, mate. It's just insufficient force. So you've got nothing to worry about. So what is insufficient force?
Well, I think it's anything that makes the recipient
react or
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, okay.
In the sense of
well, therefore those two players,
how he feels, it's had some effect on him.
And do you think, Pat, the fact that we've gone lenient on rubbing players out and more to fining, that we're going to see more of this, where you just go up and punch people in the guts because it's going to be a $1,500 fine?
We can get away with it, Kevin. $500,000 to $600,000
a year, so we're quite happy to put up with that by just punching people in the guts.
What, you're going to do it about three or four times to get to go from a fine to a suspension?
Is it a good look for the game?
That's hardly a good look.
Good look for the game?
Hardly a good look.
It'll be interesting to see how the match review panel handles these couple of incidents. Now, on Sam Mitchell, I've got some sympathy for Sam Mitchell because you've got Tex Walker coming at him to bump into him. He's a big man. I can understand taking some evasive action. And you may put up your leg or your arm or something to protect yourself. So I've got some sympathy for Sam Mitchell. I don't have any sympathy for Stratton and Gibson just punching and elbowing people in the guts who are not ready to be punched in the guts.
Now, I can't comment on that one, Kevin, because I spent the weekend up in Sydney, when in football terms is like going to the North Pole. You just don't hear or see anything. And I've only been able to catch up some stuff this morning. But I haven't been able to see that one.
Travis is in Kilmore. G'day, Travis.
G'day, Cabot and Patrick. How are you going?
We're going great. Thanks for joining us. Ticks and crosses from the weekend.
Yeah, just talking about the hits to the guts as well. I think it's something they really do need to stamp out. I was watching the replay of last year's Richmond West Coast game before Friday night's game. Yeah. And the incident with Ty Vickery, which, you know, no one condones. It was stupid what he did. Just before that, he was whacked in the guts as well by Dean Cox, if you have a look at the replay, as they were forming up for the ruck. So there is the reaction to it on the other side. If people aren't, the AFL aren't going to do anything, then sometimes players might snap and actually do something silly.
It's a good point, because that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? Mm. It was in effect retaliation. Now, we don't want retaliation, but he felt that he probably had to let Cox know that he was not going to take it.
Some of the SMSs are saying Cochin did the same thing. Now, I'm not quite certain.
Yes, he did.
Who Cochin hit.
I saw that.
I know that Cochin was a bit lucky. He raised his arm, or his forearm, and missed an Eagles player. And those commentating said, well, he was very fortunate he didn't make contact there. But who did Cochin hit, do we know? Can you just tell me that? I'll have a look at it.
I can't remember, but I saw...
Was it a whack in the guts? Was it a whack in the guts or a whack in the head?
Whack in the guts.
Whack in the guts?
He propped and waited for the player to move towards and turn around and hit him.
And did the player react to it? I mean, was it of, you know, as you say, Pat, any response from the player?
I've only seen it once, Kevin. Okay. I can't remember. Yep.
Okay, well, we'll try and look at that one as well. Not good enough. We'll take a break.
On 11.16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week on 11.16 SEN.
Well, I've got a lot of nominations off Twitter, Pat, for your famous Goose and Goose of the Week. You can always agree or disagree with Pat's nominations.
We got a lot of response to your ridiculous tweet that you should be Gus for... what did you do?
Well, I just suggested that I was the only person who was brave enough, Pat, to actually suggest that Geelong were in decline, which you have lambasted me along with Greg Denham for the last 18 months. And I just said on the weekend...
Well, you're still wrong.
With Melbourne turning around about by over 200 points a loss 4 years ago...
You're still wrong.
...that... maybe I was worthy of a nomination. Worthy of a nomination.
Can I get on with my segment,
please? Yes, you can.
Thanks. Now, Kevin, I don't know. I know our listeners have, and you, we've the quality of Gustan Gutz this year has been exceptional. Really, people have put their mind to it and really working hard to be Goose or Goose. The reason, of course, is it's the 10th year, Kevin,
yes,
of the Gustan Gutz. And at the end of the year, we'll be announcing...
The Golden Goose.
No, the Gustan Gutz of the decade.
Of the decade.
Yeah. So it's pretty prestigious. Well, it's already a prestigious award, known around the world, as we know. So, you know, that explains the sensation.
Yep. Everyone's having a crack at it.
And look, Graham Corns, I think he's fantastic. He just keeps putting in every week to try and get there. He's a very important part of the Gustan Gutz.
What's Corns he done?
Well, he's the award's named after him for some remarkable work he did 10 years ago. But he's in this week because he doesn't like what Hawthorn did. He thinks it's unsporting and
well, he might be right. He might be right.
Not in the spirit.
Upon the
well, he may be, Kevin, but this is the same bloke who defended Brett Montgomery when he sledged Adam Ray Manaskis about his cancer on the football field and said, effectively, toughen up. Mm. So I'm not sure that he's on really good ground to be talking about what's the spirit of footy. Anyway, that's not why he got it, because he didn't like what happened to the Geelong...
Eddie Betts and Charlie Cameron.
So he said, given the diminutive size of Betts and Cameron, suspension rather than fines must be imposed. I'll put it to you, Kevin. Why?
Well, I don't think that size would come into it. I think it would just be the action that comes into it. I don't think the size would come into
it. Well, that's a gibberish, Kevin. You're allowed to say the word. It's gibberish. What's size got to do with it?
Well, it's not gibberish of the week. That's tomorrow, so that's why I didn't mention gibberish.
No, but it is gibberish.
Mm. Well, yes, look, I agree with that.
It's a nonsensical thing to say.
I suppose it was part of his column saying, well, is this good for the game, seeing people just go up and whack an elbow guys in the guts, and particularly in this particular case where smaller players were being attacked by bigger players. So he was trying to make that point.
So only tall players
can
be
suspended. No, but I agree with you there.
Okay.
The size of the player, it doesn't matter. It's the action that takes place.
Now, Gus, I think, is a standout. Jason Day played an extraordinary third round when he was very ill, but bad luck. Golfers can't win it anymore. The winner is an absolute knockout performance by the Matildas, beating Brazil and going into the quarterfinals. Most successful Australian soccer side ever. It's a fantastic effort by the Matildas.
That was a great effort. If you haven't caught up with it overnight, Matildas 1-0. Kaya Simon scored. In fact, I'll throw to the audio because this goal against Brazil has taken Australia Matildas into the quarterfinals of the World Cup of Soccer.
Quick release. Devonta's in. Listen, Devonta! Can't finish, but Kaya Simon can. And Australia take the lead over Brazil.
Should be cleared by Australia. And there it is. The Matildas become Australia's most successful senior team at a World Cup. They're into the quarterfinals with an historic victory over Brazil.
And just on that, Pat, I know that you're very good at wanting to pump up women's sport. I did read where they get about $500 a game.
Yes.
The Matildas to play at the World Cup.
Yes, and Andy Marr's been banging on about this, and good on him. I mean, the senior men's team pick up 6.5 for their last game each, and the Matildas pick up 500. I guess all things are in proportion as they've come so far that 500 is a big deal, but compared to where they were. But we need to support them a lot more than that.
Okay, so Graham Corns and the Matildas. Did Patrick nail it? 9429 1116. David's in Ballarat. G'day, Dave.
G'day, boys. I had some ticks across for that interpretation of punching in the guts as insufficient force. But the big ticks are for the Matildas, the D's. And I can... Cameron Smith did a great job. He's played... State of Origin on Wednesday. He's played the Storm yesterday, and he's minus one over at
yes.
Same as at the moment.
he's a star, Cam Smith.
He just bounces back, doesn't he?
He does. Look, can I give a cross? Look, I don't like giving crosses to people that I really admire, but I'm giving a cross to Billy Slater because, Pat, Billy Slater chose to play State of Origin. Now, as you know, after that game, State of Origin, his shoulder was so stuffed up, he can't play anymore for the rest of the season. The Storm, a couple of days later, are playing against the Brisbane Broncos, who number one on the ladder, and, of course, Melbourne Storm are fourth on the ladder. Huge, huge game. Why not say, you know what, I'm going to play my last game for the Storm. My shoulder is stuffed. I've got one game left in me. Is it Storm or is it Origin? It should have been Storm. Because Billy Slater playing yesterday, they win that game. They had that many chances to get the ball across the line. They went down 14-12. Billy Slater's worth more than 2 points. He's the greatest fullback in the history of the game. Melbourne Storm wins that game yesterday against the Broncos if Billy Slater plays. And Billy Slater chose to play Origin rather than play for Storm. And he's let the Storm down. He's let the supporters down. He's let everyone associated with the Storm down by going for that silly State of Origin when he had one game left in him.
It's not silly.
It is silly when he's got one game left in him.
It's very important to them. But I would
not as important as helping Storm win the premiership because, let's face it, Pat, he's not going to play anymore this year. He had one game left in him. One game. And he chose to play State of Origin and not Storm.
I think the strongest argument
is... So my cross goes to Billy. I love Billy, but he pulled the wrong rein.
Oh, I disagree. I think this... But for different reasons. But I would take your point that the slab of money that he earns is not from State of Origin. It's certainly from his contract with the Melbourne Storm.
And his responsibility. If he had one game left in him, he's got to say, look, I can't play on the weekend. My shoulder's too sore. But I'm going to have one last game in me, and I'm playing for the Storm. They would have won that game. They would have won that game against the Broncos. So that's my cross.
You don't appreciate how big State of Origin is and how important it is to rugby league.
I think Billy Slater owed it to the Storm to play his last game for the Storm against the Broncos.
Fair enough.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. More ticks and crosses.
On 11.16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
There was a lot of things discussed between Alex and I and his management, and probably some of those things Brendan wasn't aware of either, and that will remain so. And I think that was, you know, that is one of the things that's helped the situation. Alex, I think, really appreciated the club giving him the respect and some time to work through these things, and I think out of all this is a lot of trust that's been developed, which is terrific going forward.
So Alex Rance, that story, he's now signed up for the Tigers for a further 4 years. That was Dan Richardson talking about a lot of trust and respect given from Richmond to
really
Alex
really
Rance.
Important signing.
Well, he's the most important player at the club. Yes. Alex Rance. Scott is in Clifton Springs. G'day, Scotty.
Yeah, g'day, Kev. Greg Denham's not happy with you, mate. You what? Haven't been down to the Spread Eagle Hotel yet to have your humble pie.
Well, if anyone's going to eat humble pie, it's Greg Venom Denham.
He
hates the Bulldogs, and they're flying. He hates St Kilda, they're on the up. And he hates Melbourne.
What about a bloke who tips Richmond to make the grand final?
Well, that... stay tuned for that, Pat. Stay tuned for that.
You may die of humble pie poisoning.
Stay tuned for that. Tigers are not done with yet. Coming up, Mark Allen's about to join us. Adam Scott is charging at the US Open. Can you believe it?